on earth. He put the justification there so the wicked man will not have to look for his excuse. And got the good there just to pass the book off as a holy book. That's all the good is there for, just to pass it off over a fool as a holy book. But the evil is there to justify wickedness and cruelties and all of the other evils that we've experienced on this earth. For if God said smuggle the possessions of another people out of the country, oh, this is a sanction from God to steal. If God says, as they have done to you, do double to them, this is a sanction to be cruel master. And the Caucasian people, they blame the Lalian people, our ancestors, for a lot of their troubles that they experienced in past history. So when they got us under them, they tried to do worse, double worse. They followed the language of the Bible. They tried to do much, much worse to us than our ancestors did to them. Yes. Well, one day we'll come. Look at this. The Bible says that he shall slay them with the sword that proceedeth out of his mouth. Is that right? And Jesus told his disciples, he said, go and sell your cloaks and get a sword. Isn't that what Jesus told his disciples? And the Bible says they shall break up their plowshares, pruning tools and plowshares, and make them into weapons of war, swords. Is that right? And the Bible also says they shall break up the swords or the weapons of war and make them pruning tools, plows. Right? Do you see the double language? Which one we expect to come then? The breaking up of weapons to make them tools of production, that's a beautiful thing that all of us want to see come. But the same book says that they're going to break up their swords, their weapons of production, and make them weapons of destruction. The book says both. So which are we to believe? Say the sword proceeded out of his mouth. Isn't that how you spell sword? Take the S off, and what do you have? Do you think that's an accident? Why do you need a W in sword to make it sound sword? You need it because it has to fit the Jacobite plan. Now, you who study language, if you have studied languages, you know that the worst language in the world is English. It breaks every rule. How come this language has to break all the rules to fit the Jacobite scheme? Sword, spelled S-W-O-R-D, sword. A screw missing on this mic, so I'll just have to hold it until we finish here. Now, dear beloved Muslims, brothers and sisters, I regret that all of the Muslims who listened to us couldn't see the blackboard. But I tried to speak enough on what we were doing so that they would be able to see mentally what we were doing on the blackboard. Dear beloved Muslims, I thank Allah that He has blessed us to get the understanding of the most subtle and most dangerous thing that have ever been put on human beings. I thank Allah that He has uncovered this conspiracy to destroy human life on earth and turn human beings into wild, self-destructive freaks, perverts, sissies. That's what they're doing. Those who buy this world's life, they turn out to be perverts, sissies, freaks, sadists. Enjoying inflicting pain on others or enjoying inflicting it on yourself. Using dope, heroin, cocaine. Heroin, cocaine, shooting a needle, punching your veins, sticking a hole in yourself, shooting dope into your veins, just so you will feel happy. Don't you know the Jacobites are laughing at you? They say, look what we have done to them. Say, God made them to find happiness in the worship of Him. In a relationship with Him. We told God that He did a wrong thing, saying that He's going to give a human heart rule in the world over intelligence. Say, look what his creature's doing. Seeking His heaven by punching holes in His veins and filling His mind up with drugging influences. Saying He's sleeping in His heaven. But look at him, he's not fit for any job in society. He can't even manage his household anymore. Say, didn't we give him a heaven? Yes, we did. Yes, we did, Brother Robinson. Don't let these people laugh at us. Now that the truth have come, we should have the energy, the strength, the courage we need to get off a 50-year, $200 a week heroin habit instantly. That's right. You should be able to instantly put down that needle and never pick it up again. You couldn't have got in that condition if the world hadn't been made crazy. The world had been made backwards and crazy, so you couldn't find light or strength, and nobody was there to help you. Opportunities wasn't good for you, so you fell weak, and you fell into the dope habit. But now that the lights are on for you, you're responsible for yourself. You should immediately throw all those self-destructive things away and stand up and be a good Muslim, a strong fighter for truth and righteousness on this earth. I've always said, if I be killed, I would like to know somebody else was doing it, and I was trying to prevent it. I've always said that I would never accept to kill myself or to help somebody else kill me. The lights are on for us, brothers and sisters. When you're giving yourself to the evil, wicked influences that this satanic mind has put out here to take us, you are killing yourselves with your own hands. Don't say the society did it. The lights are on now. The society is not doing it. You're not being tricked. You know that they want to kill you. They want you sleeping under the influence of dope. Because while you're sleeping, you are not in the contest. You are not in the struggle for the goods of this life that God has created for all of us. They put you out of the contest. When you're giving yourself to lust, to foolish language, to vulgar, simple, stupid habits, wasting the hours of your day in vulgarity, you are just walking out of the contest with your own legs while they laugh at you. Say, well, we don't have to share with him. He's gone. They have to share with me. I want my share of the ground and what's under the surface. I want my share of the atmosphere. I want my share of the heavens. I want my share of the material wealth. I want my share of the academic knowledge. I want my share of the political power. I want my share of everything that God has made possible on this earth in this life for human beings. I want my share of international trade. I want my share of international politics. Whatever any other human being has the right to get into, I have the right to get into. But I can't get in the contest if I'm going to let the influences of the Jacobite devil sweep me out of the game. No, indeed. I'm in the race. And if you stand behind me, you'll be in the race. You'll push your children. You'll push your wife. You'll even push your grandfather. My grandfather's dead. May he rest in peace. But if he was alive, I would be inspiring him. I'd tell Grandpa, I'd say, Grandpa, I know you're 110, but you're not too old to get a piece of this thing that you haven't been able to get. Hey, Grandpa, live on now a little longer, and let's get a piece of this good world that God created for all men and all women, not just for some. They have just cut off the majority of the people of the world from the blessings of God just by working influences in the life of the people to turn the light of understanding, the light of love, the light of devotion away from the vitals of society to the destructive things, to the cheap, inferior, insignificant things. Just look at our people. I can almost tell you what 9 out of 10 Benalians are doing 24 hours of the day. Why is it that simple to predict or that simple to tell? Because we know the forces that clock, program, and dominate the lives of the Lalian people. We know what they're doing at night. We know what they're doing when they're off the job. If they're on the job, they are working like drunken tools. They don't have an intelligent view on what they're doing. They don't have an intelligent light around their job. No. The role that they're performing in that factory or in that company, there is no intelligent life. If we would have more representation in the high places of cooperation and factory or industry. Yes, we would have a greater and more worthwhile representation in the industry and in the cooperation, big cooperation, if our people had any intelligent awareness of their rights, of their rights and their obligation to self, family, and their community. If they had light on these particular questions, brothers and sisters, they would have a greater piece of the cooperation and a greater piece of the industry. But they don't. That's because they go to jobs as a grateful nigger. Excuse the language, but most of them go to their jobs as grateful niggers. They're filled up with thanks, just happy that they're allowed to work 40 hours or 44 or 80 or 80 a week. And live just comfortable enough so they don't have to stream. Oh, I'm so thankful that I don't have to stream under pain. I get a chance to work 80 hours a week. And my wife works too. And we got a home, and each one of us got our own car, and we just built a new garage. And we are sending our daughter to college. All right, you working 80 hours a week, your wife working 40, you got two cars, one house, and you getting ready to send a daughter to college. Work 40 hours a week. Take your wife off the job. And I'll help you get a house, and I'll help send your child to college. Rather than to see you slave like that just to get an old house that costs no more, the value is no more than $28. I know it's $28,000, that's what you paid for it. But after you live in it long enough to stop that sending that girl to college, that house is going to be worth about $28. You know, I don't know if you all can follow me. But I tell you, we need to organize this community. Organize it in a real battle, a tooth and nail battle against the enslaving forces of this Jacobite society. That's what we need to do. How come we can't chip in and put some money into account and don't touch it except to educate our children, to send children to colleges? Don't touch it except to get a home for a Bilalian family that need a home. And when we can't build private homes, why can't we chip in and build hotels? And turn the hotel into a rooming house. And people that need a home, we can make the place like we want it. We can build big projects. We can build projects. And we don't have to make the project a jail. We don't have to make it look like county jail. We can put good floors on it, good walls. We can make some quarters of it big enough to accommodate a family of five, a family of 10, and put members of our community there as security people to make sure the property stays in good shape. Now, this program will only be accepted by me if we start taking people off of double jobs. Don't you know that makes you inhuman? That's what they want you to do. They want you to work 80 hours so that your whole life is dominated by that work. There's no opportunity for your mind to develop, no opportunity for your human nature to develop, no opportunity for the human sentiments and the soul to develop, because all the life forces is given to pushing the clock and doing the damn thing that they have designed for you to do on that job. Certainly a man should work. He should take care of his family. He should feel obligated to do this. And until you find some way to do this other than working 80 hours, I congratulate you. I praise you for working 80 hours to see that your family live a comfortable life. But I say it's the duty of leadership in your community to relieve us of this inhuman, unnatural kind of a thing. How many Caucasians you think you can find that's working two jobs? Only the weak, stupid, uneducated victims of the Jacobite thing. They would thank us for our intelligent program to change this situation. And we can change it. Dear brothers and sisters, believe me, we can change it. Look, I said it a while ago and I repeat it. We don't have to stay in brick houses. We don't have to use expensive bricks. We don't have to have all the expensive wiring and stuff. Find out what is the minimum requirement to make, the whole house doesn't have to be lit up. Certain rooms should be for sleeping. If you don't have no light in those rooms at all, what's the difference? Why wire up a bedroom that I won't sleep in? I'll put my desk somewhere else. Don't put it in the bedroom. Let the reading stand be somewhere else. Or in the daytime, do the reading in the bedroom. When it get night, use the bedroom for sleeping. Say, oh, but it's dark. We need protection. In your house, the greatest protection for you is darkness. That thief don't know your house like you know it. If he come in there in the dark, he's at a disadvantage. Don't think lights are protection for you in your house. Only when you're out. You don't need every light on in the house to scare the thief at night. Just leave one or two lights on. The thief will think somebody's at home. So I'm telling you, we need a sensible approach to solve the problem that we have in our life. This is no simple problem. We have a monstrous problem in our life. And we need a sensible approach to it. We can start building homes. Build them with wood. Don't you know wood lasts a long time? Wood stand up as long as brick. Certainly it catch on fire. But we ain't a community of smokers. We don't get drunk and set our house afire. And they got a lot of fire-resistant materials now. You can use as much fire-resistant material as possible, and it will reduce even the fire hazard. We can build houses cheaper. We can live cheaper. We can have a community dwelling so families can live cheaper and be accommodated comfortably. We can do this. Do we have some college graduates, some degreed people here who think that they can contribute to this? Do they think that they can accept this challenge and contribute something to this? You think we can help work out a plan? Stand up. Stand up, you who are college graduates. Allahu Akbar. Thank you very much. I'm going to ask every one of you to see me, if not Friday, since you're out here today, that means you can get out next Sunday. See me next Sunday. We don't have to teach next Sunday. This is more important than teaching. I'll let somebody else teach. Let us get together and let us begin now to tackle these serious problems that we have that are going to bring us down from now on if we don't tackle them with some sense. I want all of you over here to come out and let us have a meeting and let's see what each can do to help me bring this about. Get us a real plan, and I will lead it. My wife is as emotional as any wife. I'm telling you, my wife is as emotional, as sentimental as any wife. God has blessed me with the most sentimental and emotional wife on earth. And I do believe that she will follow me away from my private home on Carnell and move into a multiple kind of apartment building with multiple dwelling there, apartment. And we will live together in one big structure designed and built to serve our needs. To make a nice condition for us, nice living conditions, but also to meet the demands of our poverty situation. I'm prepared right now to sell that house that I got and move into this house that will serve the whole community. And the family's moving there. I'm prepared right now to take my money that I have, and I have a little bit, into an account for my own children's education. I'm prepared right now to take it out of there and put it into a common account and let judges decide whose child will get the benefit of that account. And the most qualified one, the most qualified one, the one who promises the most results, the best results in the college, that's the one to get it. If we start something like this, believe me, the world is looking at us. If we start something like this, eventually we'll pull many Bilalians and many other suffering minority members into this kind of life. And we'll show the government that we don't have their problem. We don't have to compromise the good future of the deprived masses, or the underprivileged masses, to hold on to something that we fear to let go. They have to compromise our good future to keep peace with the big fat boys, the explorers of the weak, the bloodsuckers of the poor. Governments have to compromise with these people because they need their support. They need them to put them back in office. Don't you know the poor don't put the people in office at top? The wealthy put the people in office who are at the top. So the top people, they can't depend on you and me. They want our votes, but the money also counts. And they know that. But I believe there are enough decent people in government, and there are enough decent people in the private sector to give us a good send-off, to say congratulations for your daring move that you've made. We hope that we can be of some help to you. You'll be surprised at the help you will get from good, healthy, strong elements in American society and in the government if you stand up and make a daring step to get out of the poor. more pitiful nigger picture. We'd be crying forever if we don't take our future into our own hands. Not to go blindly or foolishly against the law of the land and the ways of the American people. No. To move with the law of the land and to respect the respectable ways of the American people and still accomplish it. In fact, the law of the land and the fine principles of American life are with us. They're on our side to do this. The only thing against us are the corruptors, those who don't respect the fine principles of American life and those who abuse the law of the land. Dear beloved brothers and sisters, let us come into this with full force, with all of our energies. Let us not be made fearful or weakened, even if the president come out and say, these people should just let us work out their future. They think they're leaving the American pattern, creating something awfully different in our society. If the president, which I don't expect for him to say, I expect him to come out and congratulate us. But I'm just bringing up these far-fetched possibilities. If the president of the United States come out like that, don't let it influence you the least. If you remain strong and walk firmly and don't stop on what I tell you, the president might speak out against you tonight, but before the march is over, he will apologize for not giving you a good send-off. I hate to hold you like this, but this is important. Why do you think Allah is revealing to us the dark mysteries of the satanic world, so that we will know that he has chosen us, and so we will know that the power, all the power, is with us, and have the courage to do in our daily world, and in our daily world life, pardon me, the things that must be done to make our daily world life progressive, sound, sensible, and healthy one. We don't have a people in history who have fallen under another people, or under the world, not just under another people. We have fallen under all other people. We don't have another people in history who've fallen economically, academically, politically, socially, like we have fallen to the depth that we have reached. Not another people in history. So Almighty God has come to us like he has come to every other people in the past who suffered inhuman conditions, abnormal inhuman conditions. God has turned to those people and have blessed them with a way out of those abnormal human conditions. So God has turned to us, and he has blessed us with a way up. He's blessed us with a way up. We need great power to get up. God has blessed us with that power. No Marxist theory, no Castro doctrine, no philosophy from any politician or from any educator of the world could give us the power that we have gotten from the revelations that have come to you and me over the last 40 some odd years as Muslims in America. No the power that has been given to us in terms of incentives, in terms of motivation, over the last 3 years, is greater than all the power that they can amass from the doctrines of communism and capitalism all over the world. God has given us a proof that He is with us. He's given us a proof that we have the supreme wisdom. He's given us the proof that we have the keys to the mysteries of the world. And the awareness of this thing happening in our life in connection with the very strange and peculiar history of the Lost Found Nation of Islam is enough, brother, to jet us into the heights of progress. I'm telling you. Yes. So Allah has given us all we needed was the motivation. We need motivating power. We need something to give us that spurt, that incentive. Something to give us the power to make that first step. Our past history and our condition since we were free have not been enough to give us that rocket boost so that we can get up out of the slave camp of failure and hopelessness. But all praise is due to Allah. Today, a revelation strong like that one that took place on Mount Zion has manifested itself here among you and me. And I don't have to be told by you. I know that you are ready to march with me all over this earth. Tell me, because I know the effect. I know the effect in me that has been brought about by this powerful teaching, this powerful revelation that has been taking place over the last 3 years. I know what it has done to me. So you don't have to tell me what you can do. I know what you can do. You can turn this life around. You can build this world all over. You can leave the castle you're in. You can leave that war, fail, with all of its conveniences, with all of its material conveniences, with all of its gold and silver and diamonds. Allah has given us the motivation. He has given us the incentive. He has given us the faith, the daring drive to walk away from a false heaven into a real one, though it means eating less, wearing less, spending less, enjoying less, and I know you're ready. So let's not let the precious time keep passing by. Let us take advantage of the precious time. Let us not wait for world conditions to change and throw in time in the positions of power where there is now human beings. Let us not trust the future. The future may shift the balance against us. Let us move now while there is a president in office committed to the moral protection and to the human protection of the people of America and the people of the world. Let us move while there is a human president in office. Let us move, brothers and sisters, while the sentiments of the United States of America and the sentiments of the world powers are in accord with what we want to do. Let us move right now! Now I'm going to ask the learned men, the educated men and women of this community and all over these United States who belong to this community are sympathized with it, want to see it advance, want to see this order lead the way. All who are with us, I'm going to ask them to put their heads together and in your own places. If you're in New York, if you're in Philadelphia, if you're in Washington, put your head down to the task, put your brains to the task, and begin laying up some concrete steps, some practical steps for us to take to arrive where you know I want you to go. And we can do it. We can do it. I saw a great number stand up here. There was more than 20 of you stood, saying that you're college graduates, saying that you're ready to make contributions. And I saw among you a few that I know myself from personal acquaintance with them. I know they are qualified. I know they can help do this job. And one of them is a brother that I dismissed from his position. But Allah is the best knower. He's qualified and he proved to me that he's worthy to be accepted in the ranks with the highest in this community. And that's Brother Hazem Ali. Will you stand, Brother Hazem Ali? Him. I've watched him, and he's been tested. And as far as I'm concerned, he has passed the test. He don't need to be tested anymore, not by me. I accept him in whatever position or whatever job he can do in this community. He got the right and the freedom to do it, and I ask the whole community to recognize that right being his. Some of them, I treated them so nicely, talked to them like they were my own children, but I told them, you got to get a little spanking. They cried like babies and went away, and they don't want to have nothing to do with me. Good riddance, they are not strong enough for the job we have to do. But Brother Hazem Ali, he's still Brother Hazem Ali. He comes out, I see him regularly here. He's ready to help, to be of service to us. He's not trying to tear us down. He's not trying to pull our strength from us. He's just hurt that he's not in position to help us more. Now that's a brother that has proven himself to be worthy of a position of authority in this community. So I thank Allah for him, and I thank him for the others like him. Dear beloved brothers and sisters, Allah is with us. Allah is with us. We haven't come into this of our own power. We didn't plot our way or plan our way to where we are today. Allah, he worked behind the scenes. The invisible hand, the invisible force of Allah has moved us into the position that we are in today. And that same force will preserve us and aid us on for future achievements and future successes. May Allah be with you all. Assalamu alaikum.
One more time, brothers and sisters, takbir! 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 All praise is due to Allah. Now, brothers and sisters, have a seat just for a minute. I have to Now, brothers and sisters, don't leave right now because we have a few more announcements. These following masajids, will be getting the first 20 minutes of the tape that they missed.